Hey, Mac, when does deer season start?
Well, if you want the best deer herd possible, Lanny, you need to start right now.
Right now.
That's why we're starting our promotion. I mean, we've got a Deer Season Starts Now promotion on plantbiologic.com where you can pick up our Game Changer soybeans, our forage soybeans, and our spring protein peas. While you're there, you might as well go ahead and pick up some brassicas like our final forage and winter bowls.
Yeah, stock up for the cool season planting right now. Listeners to the GK Podcast, if you use coupon code GKPOD, you can save an additional 10% off our entire selection of warm season, cool season, and clover food plot seed. Get started today and visit plantbiologic.com for an unforgettable fall.
I am Jeff Foxworthy, and welcome to Gamekeeper Podcast. If you want to learn more about farming for wildlife and habitat management, then buddy, you are in the right place. Join the Gamekeeper crew direct from Mossy Oak Land Enhancement Studio as they discuss the latest wildlife and habitat management practices, news, and of course, hunting. There's no telling what you'll learn, but I'm going to tell you, I bet it's interesting. Enjoy.
We're live in 3, 2, 1.
We got some high production capability.
We got a custom song.
That's a really neat song Walt Gabbard has cut. I think it's called The Gamekeeper.
That makes sense to me.
I think you can go and find it somewhere wherever you get music and listen to it, the whole thing. But I'm excited about it. So welcome, everybody, to West Point, Mississippi, to the humble Gamekeeper Podcast Studio.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, appreciate you getting us in here again.
What is this, 196?
Are we 196 episodes?
We are.
That's amazing. You didn't even know what a podcast was when we started this thing.
They say the first 199 are the toughest.
I bet so.
Once you get through with 199, you're good, huh? Smooth sailing.
I guess so.
I mean, you'd think we would have covered everything by now, but there's so much to learn about wildlife.
No,
I mean,
we love to talk.
We're always in here. That's right. I mean, we've got 199 episodes, but we've been here talking about this stuff for 30 years.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So I look around the room. Dudley, you look like you are excited. Your beard's grown out. You're spending time in the woods.
Deer season look.
Yeah, the beard may have to come off soon. Somebody referred to me as Papa Smurf the other day. So there may be a little too much white in the
There's a little gray in the
kind of hurt my feelings a little bit.
Lanny, you look kind of gangster over there with your hood.
Man, I'm going to tell you what, this Bottomland hoodie is comfortable.
Yeah. Richie's finally back at the helm.
Yeah, him and Mac off of their whirlwind trip to Oklahoma.
Well, I mean, someone had to do it.
Hey,
you know?
That's right. Yeah, we're all hanging around here trying to plant food plots.
And took parts of the podcast studio so we couldn't.
Why did you take the wires with you when you left?
I told Bob I wanted to sabotage it, you know, just to show how much you
how important you were.
Well,
let me tell you what, it worked because we couldn't do it without you.
But Rob Kenny figured it out.
Yeah, he did.
So, hats off to Rob there.
Or was that Cleveland?
No, that was Robert. Robert pulled it through.
Yeah, Rob. Cleveland left us in a lurch.
Off the plane. He made it happen.
So today we've got two really interesting guys. I'm going to go ahead and introduce them. And in no particular order, but we got Jim Ronquist with Drake, who is he's a longtime duck hunter and won the World Duck Call.
No doubt about it. He's synonymous with duck hunting, in my opinion.
He's pretty good.
Thank you.
And then we've also got Addison Edmonds of Gunner Kennels. And I mean,
the finest products out there for your dogs.
And now they've got a lot of other products.
They
other
do.
Than just kennel.
Yeah, came on the scene with that kennel, and man, what a great product.
Look at this big mustache he's got. He kind of looks like Tom Selleck up there.
Yeah, he does have a Tom Selleck kind of look. Yeah.
Do you get that very often, Addison?
I think around Halloween, somebody said I look like him. No, not very often.
So instead of a Ferrari and Dobermans, you got a big truck and some retrievers.
There you go.
That's right.
I bet those Dobermans wish
What was P.I.'s cohort's name? What was that guy's name?
Magnum P.I.
Higgins.
Yeah. That's Higgins. Right. That was a good show.
It was a great show. Yeah, you can watch that on the Friendly app.
Or you can also get the Gamekeeper television show.
Yeah, the Outdoor Channel. It's $7.99. You know, they told us it was $6.99, but when I went to sign up, it was $7.99 a month. But it's a great – I watch that more than any other streaming service we have.
It is convenient.
So, look, today we're going to talk about waterfowl.
Yes, one of our favorite subjects.
We're going to talk about dogs. We got a lot to cover. But before we go down those roads, there is a lot of blood on the bottom.
It's deer season, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, these kids are racking them up. So
yeah, it seems like some pretty good deer hitting the ground early this year in the South, too.
So I'm going to make some big deer.
Yeah.
So I think we ought to rename this. It's just another a weekly adding names to the people that we're jealous of, Lanny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That are killing a bigger
especially
deer.
Especially those big deer. Look at Mac Thatcher up there, our own one and only.
Yeah, well, probably not jealous of that one.
I don't know. That's a real six right there.
But he had to go through a long, long week to bring that one mm-hmm. home. So I'm going to let him have
it's
that
a big
one.
Old yeah. mature old deer.
You've hunted for stuff longer than a week, hadn't you?
Yeah, I have. That's why I'm letting him have that.
Yeah. So you understand where he's coming from. Hey, yeah. And I would say, and I think Richie, you can confirm this. Old Mac made a heck of a shot, didn't he?
It was 425.
Wow. Yeah. That's a long way.
It was a poke.
Nosler bullets, though.
Yeah, definitely Nosler bullets.
Yes. Yes. It was Nosler.
What caliber?
It's a 308.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Leupold optics.
Leupold or Leupold? I think Leupold. It's Leupold optics.
And it's Mississippi.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Maybe.
All right, moving on. We've got a young lady right there on the right. That's a Boone and Georgia Boone and Crockett. Her name
a
is
Booner.
Morgan Ray Walker.
Look, that deer is wide. He almost got like a mule deer frame.
He's
on
incredible.
Look at that. He is incredible. And then brow tines are serious too.
That is a gorgeous.
Dang, Skippy.
Nah, no. Split twos.
It's just a good photo.
It is a great photo.
You can see the sun in the background.
Looking perfect. Down into swamps and that cypress knees there, Dudley.
That's a great deer for a young lady.
Good for her.
Yep.
Great deer for anybody.
That's right. Good point. Mm-hmm. What we got there?
Camille Stewart, Rick Stewart's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
It's her first buck.
Dang. She's starting out strong,
she
too.
She killed a couple of does already this year.
Yeah, she got her first turkey this past spring, and then she got a doe a couple weeks ago, and this is her first buck.
How about that?
Yeah, and a good one at that. And her sister, Quincy, also got one with her bow a couple weeks ago.
Golly.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, who you got, Lane?
Well, you know, we had the Moles youth crew out there to the place. Trying to do some early doe harvest. And I think just about all of them got on board. No, Little Dud and Dud are on the board.
Little Dud got one.
Yeah, yep. Little Dud got one. Eli McKellar and Caston McKellar, or we call them the McKillers.
They're in there.
Both of them are in there. Preston Domino, he ended up killing a coyote, so he got bonus points for that.
Yeah.
Then Hayden's on the board too. So we've knocked nine does and two coyotes in the head in the first week. So pretty strong showing out there.
That is strong. Speaking of Domino, Campbell, a little girl named Campbell Domino, killed a monster.
That would be Preston's cousin.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but she was a heck of a deer.
So Preston is John Paul's son, and Campbell is Nick's daughter, and they're brothers.
That's right.
Yeah.
We got to get John Paul's buddy Tucker back out there. I don't think he got one.
Yeah, we'll have to get him back out. But that deer that Campbell killed was quite impressive. And one more.
Yeah.
Jay Shouse, Murray Shouse's son.
That's right.
He killed a really good deer. I think it was on the island, wasn't it there?
I think so. Nine-pointer.
Yeah.
BC and Kim Rogers, their son Ivy, they challenged him to get 10 does before he got a buck, and he took the challenge. And in two seasons, he just finished his 10th doe.
Wow!
And so now he's just the most determined.
He's in
kid.
The buck club now.
Yeah,
huh?
he's in the buck club, and he's ready.
I like this rule. These rules here. This is good stuff.
So Addison, your daughter Marie killed her first buck this past weekend, didn't she?
Nice.
Yep. And I sent the picture to BC, and then I saw his post about his son had to kill 10, and I was like, man, that was a great idea, because Marie, my oldest, she's 8. She killed her first duck last youth duck season, her first turkey last spring, and her first deer was an 8-point buck. And she knew where to shoot it. We've been practicing. We've been hunting hard, and she said she felt like she put a pretty good shot on it. And Emily and I had to end up blood trailing it. I don't think we found it until about 11 o'clock at night, but we were so pumped to have it. And I'm processing the meat tonight.
There you go.
So we're excited about that. She's pretty thrilled.
Yeah, we're pretty stocked up on venison sausage down here now.
Yeah.
Let's see. I actually have a couple more.
Oh, go ahead. God, that's the time of the year.
Young Brandon Parker, a.k.a. Junior.
Junior.
Hunting buddy I grew up with, his son, Brandon, got at the age of 14, he got a Pope and Youngish 10-pointer, his biggest deer to date.
With a bow, obviously.
No, he got it with a rifle.
I thought you said Pope and Younger.
Well, size, okay, you know, roughly 125, 130.
My bad.
Yeah. Pope and Young, I usually think bow too.
Okay, yeah. Well, it was Pope and Young
class. 125 inches.
Well, you could have said 125.
Okay,
inch class,
all right. 125 to 130 inch 10-pointer for Brandon. He also awesome. Got a big bobcat recently, and both of them were in a Green Patch Plus.
Hey. Them bobcats love them brassicas.
You got Hayden got on the board, didn't he?
Yeah, I mentioned him.
Did you?
No, he's on the board. And him and my dad were on Doe Patrol, and man, they didn't even have time to get in the snack bag. They didn't blow them down and call me back in there and pick them and up.
Another friend of ours, Breck Farrier from Spring Legion, he got a nice 8-point over the Thanksgiving holiday. I really enjoyed the photos, all the family around. Everybody just kind of standing around the deer, staring at it, almost like it was a fire. Yeah. They were just sitting around the truck and enjoying looking at that deer.
I love hunting Thanksgiving around Thanksgiving. It's fun stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's
good stuff.
Hey, guys. Dudley from Gamekeepers here. I want to tell you about the all-new Gunner Dog Bowl. It's designed for home and built for travel. It's customizable, leak-resistant, light on weight, solid on durability, and rust-proof. Like other Gunner products, they're made in Nashville and designed for everywhere.
Well, so duck season started this past weekend in a lot of places.
Not here.
But I mean, it's been going on up north. Jim, a lot of people getting started, I guess.
You bet. Arkansas opened. We just finished our first split Sunday. Our first 9 days was spotty. Some folks had them. Some folks didn't. You know, as you mentioned earlier, it is dry, 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 even after a couple of decent rains. But it's still dry, and those who have water and good habitat seem to have ducks, and those who don't. I checked the field we have down the road here yesterday evening, and the geese had found it. We had a good speck hunt Sunday afternoon with my daughter and one of her friends, and man, the snow geese were getting in there thick yesterday. So I'll go back this evening to try to run them out, or it won't be any feed left time we reopen on December 9th. But as you move up the line into the Midwest, the people, North Missouri has been doing pretty well. So mid latitudes starting to get right. Ducks seem to be pretty well scattered north to south. This goofy weather kind of made the migration different. Example, we was talking about snow geese. So you think about snow geese, typically here in the Stuttgart area, if you're working outside or bow hunting middle October, you're hearing and seeing big high bunches of migrant snow geese and specks coming around. We've had specks on the ground since late September, but you normally start seeing snow geese mid-October. Man, nothing. They just now started showing up this past week in mass. You know, there's always been a few, but they just now started to show up in mass starting this past Friday and Saturday. So they're a month late getting here at the best. So I don't know if the rest of the migration is going to follow that direction or not. We need a big driving cold front and a big jet stream dip.
Well, you know, for the grain in the fields in that area, though, that's got to be somewhat of a bonus to having those geese here so late. Am I right about that?
Well, yeah, to a point. Yeah, absolutely. You know, because they'll clean something up. As I mentioned, the field we had, there's fields that they've flattened already, the specks have. So, yeah, that'll definitely help keep some food around. You know, probably as you get into that, the biggest issue we've got in the Delta, the Grand Prairie, the Delta, duck energy days. You know, so you go back, you back that into food plots and biologic and whatnot. There's not the food on the landscape there once was, and that's important. That really affects our duck recruitment to this part of the world.
Wow. So Addison, are you? You know, we follow you, and it looks like you duck hunt every day, like a lot of our heroes do. But is the water the places you hunt? Are y'all having water issues?
I haven't I haven't duck hunted yet this year. We had in September, I was gone every weekend, and with my four kids being ages 4 through 8, and Emily, my wife, works full time for Gunner. I decided to pump the brakes a little bit on hunts for work, which is most all the duck hunts, and try to get my kids in the deer woods more. So I've been taking my kids. I think I've hunted with all of them at least 2 or 3 times now. And I've been focusing on just trying to stay home and be with them more often this season, just the season we're in. And I was supposed to be in Stuttgart last weekend. That was the first time in 9 years that I hadn't been there. And supposed to be in Venice this weekend. And I'm going to stay and take the kids deer hunting. So I haven't gone out. I've got a few trips planned, but I can't give any reports right now.
That's, you're spending time where it's important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, reminds me, because Hayden, I've been in that stage too, where deer hunting both of my kids, trying to get them in the outdoors, and he looks at me at the end of last year and says, "How come we're not duck hunting?" And I said, "Because you want to deer hunt all the time." Yeah. So nonetheless.
So speaking of Stuttgart, Jim, can you tell us about this past weekend at the World Duck Calling Championship?
Yeah, so this was what, the 88, something like that, World Championship Duck Calling Contest. I either the good fortune or bad fortune, I was one of the world judges. So we got a brand new world champion this past weekend, a young man from Nebraska by the name of Nick Brickachek. Nick's been around for some time. Good caller, better than that, he's a good guy, very deserving.
That's awesome.
And he pulled one out, and as a judge, man, he blew good every round. I mean, he didn't know who he was till after the fact, but we was all talking about the numbers. This guy and this guy and this guy blew really well, and he was one of those folks. So
was it a tight race? Cool thing.
It was. I think he won by 0.5 point.
Wow.
Maybe a point. Yeah. So
everybody was out of breath, huh?
That's right. It wasn't a runaway by no means.
I watched a few clips of that, and I'm a little bit out of the loop in the duck world. I grew up doing it and hadn't really duck hunted a lot in the last few years, but man, those competition callers, it just makes you wonder how they tweak their insides to make all those perfect noises come out of that little bitty duck call. It's amazing.
Spend a lot of time blowing on a duck call.
To me, it seems a good bit more difficult than like running a mouth call if you were going to compare them. Now, somebody may shoot me down over that, but
we'll take a break in a few minutes. You could go get your duck call and call for a world champion and a judge.
They can judge you. That'd be great.
They can critique you.
No, sorry. Not going to subject myself to that.
Hey, everybody's got to start somewhere, Dudley. It's all good. It's all good.
And you don't have to sound that good to kill a duck.
No, that's what I was fixing to say. And, Main Street duck calling has evolved into something. It's still very rooted in calling ducks, for sure. It's kind of like a retriever field trial. It's rooted in fetching ducks. So that being said, it has kind of evolved into some sounds that people go, "What the hell is that? I ain't never heard a duck sound like that." But it's all about air control. And, if you imagine getting a bunch of ducks' attention way in the distance, call them to you, lose them, and call them back. So guys are supposed to paint a picture. It's evolved into what it is. And the more you understand it, the cooler it is. The less you understand it, it makes you go, "Why are they doing that?" Right. So it's very fun to be a part of. You mentioned mouth yippers. I used to try to blow in turkey calling contests some too, and did okay. But there's a lot of similarities between the two, believe it or not. And differences. But a lot of the mechanics, you would think operating a duck call and operating a mouth yapper would be absolutely different, but some of those mechanics are really the same.
Did you get nervous up there when you won the world championship with the duck call?
You always get a little nervous. If you don't get a little nervous, you're probably in it for the wrong reasons. But the year I won, I wasn't overly nervous. And the first year I ever blew in the world, this is kind of a good story, I wasn't a bit nervous because I knew they was going to use my butt to sweep the stage with. So I didn't care,
Yeah.
And I got to blowing along, and then I realized that, hey, man, Jimbo, you're blowing pretty good. And then I thought, man, hey, I hit that just right. I could be in this thing. And then at that point in time, both knees turned to rubber. And then I squawked, and needless to say, from then on out, I was very nervous. But even nowadays, it's no different. You guys speak a lot and get asked to do different things. There's always a little bit of adrenaline when you walk out there to do something like that.
Addison, you've been around a lot of this stuff. When you start thinking about people running duck calls, some of the best people you hear probably won't ever make it up on a stage. They get in the woods.
Old meat hunters.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
Addison, yep. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Oh, I mean, for me, just the in person and not talking about at contests. I think my favorite duck caller is TJ Mallett. We went to school together and I've hunted up in Canada with him. And it's just, I took a group of guys that hadn't been duck hunting a ton up in Canada. And the first morning we all sat down, TJ started calling. And I looked up and everybody got their phone out and just started videoing them because it was just such a different level of calling. Because all my buddies were maybe C plus, B minus on our good days. And, you know, we do okay. But I haven't been around a ton of them hunting with them. But TJ is one of my favorites. He's a good guy, too.
Yes, he is. And happy that him and Ashton have one in the oven.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hey, you said you were about to say something?
You know, everybody's got that buddy that thinks he can call and they can't.
Yeah. Don't look at me because I know I can't call. I just hide behind a tree.
It's not Bobby Points when he wants you to call.
Lanny is not afraid to call. I'm not going to say he's good, but he's going to call Adam.
I will call Adam for sure.
And hey, you got to call Adam before you can call to him.
That's right.
So, guys, before we – one of the things I wanted to ask y'all is y'all are all – you know, where everybody in the room loves to duck hunt. We have so much respect for the, you know, waterfowl.
No doubt.
The resource. And a lot of times, I mean, I've been with the majority – you know, been around everybody in a bunch of scenarios. And we kill a duck and we all just kind of look at it and admire it. But I wanted to ask, do y'all think the wood duck gets as much credit as he deserves? Jimbo, I'll start with you.
Man, it's all about perspective, Bobby. So, for me, and I think the wood duck's beautiful, and I think they're great table fare, and they make good crappie jigs and trap flies. But they can also be very frustrating. So, if you're hunting public woods and you got a good bunch of mallard started, and then somebody waylays tree-topping a bunch of wood ducks coming across the trees, you kind of get to where you dislike them a little bit. Now, if they're the only duck around that you can hunt and you found a good wood duck spot and they can be extremely fun to shoot and they are callable. So the basic answer to your question, he probably doesn't get the respect he deserves, but at the same time, they're always fun to see and hear. Who doesn't like being in the turkey woods, hearing a wood duck squealing, make a turkey gobble, or same thing in the evening, sitting out here and hearing a wood duck squealing, coming across the river or something. That's all pretty good stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I mean, I've always thought they're great looking. They eat good. And I've never really been able to turn them and call to them. And I always enjoyed them on hunts when not much else was flying and you pass shoot them and hunt them in the woods after a deer hunt in the morning. I love them. I get frustrated because I've never really been able to talk to them. And I've just accepted that. So if it's normal other places, not normal for me.
I don't know that I've known anybody that's really called them.
Some wood duck calls and we just blow them for some reason.
We whistle at them.
It doesn't do much.
I mean, I know you didn't ask me, but I kind of like having the big ducks, the way they circle and you call and they come back and you know, the wood ducks, they're just there. And mm-hmm. If they come into your decoys, great, but you're not going to sit there and watch them circle five or six times and come in. You know, that's to me a little bit more exciting, but I love a good wood duck shoot. If that's what's around, you know,
who doesn't?
Yeah, no doubt.
They're a handsome duck though.
A beautiful
duck.
They are that. Yeah.
There's a lot of pretty, a lot of people I've talked to in the last year, is how they get into duck hunting is, you know, growing up in Alabama and other spots where that's the only opportunity to get on any ducks.
100%
could be a gateway duck, you know.
I know it was for me. That's why I have so much respect for them. But like Dudley said, you know, we're introduced to shoot wood duck holes. You know, maybe you know in the afternoon.
It's hard to do that legally.
Yeah,
you have to wait for a cloudy day.
Yeah, that's right.
It is frustrating that you know you can. I think in most states or whatever. What is it, two or three a day?
Yeah, I think you can kill three here now, mm-hmm. which is great.
I want to say for years it was two or one.
Yeah.
Your daughter's been begging you to hunt since her little brother shot the big eight last year. You've ran a fire, dissed the fields, got stuck, got unstuck. Planted food plots, fertilized, and prayed for rain. You moved trees, limbed roads, even bought one of those fancy cell cameras.
So what's your excuse?
LS Tractor.
Moultrie was first in feeders since 1979 and is the leader in total game management. They're taking feeding to another level with the new Ranch Series line of durable and versatile feeders, perfect for both wildlife and domestic livestock. So Dudley, you can feed your goats. Whether you're a deer hunter, a hobby farmer, a land manager, or a rancher, Moultrie has you covered with several kit options, including a rotating auger, broadcast, or a gravity kit. And these feeders are 300 or 450 pounds. They're big feeders. All right, so guys, Moultrie is offering our listeners a 15% site-wide discount at MoultrieFeeders.com. Use code MossyOak with a capital M, MossyOak, at MoultrieFeeders.com and get that 15% discount.
Speaking of wood duck holes, I kind of wanted to ask you guys, just say you got a little farm or a small chunk of private land. What are some steps you can take to attract waterfowl? I mean, even if you're not in a major flyway, you can probably have a decent hunt a couple times a year if you do everything right. Do you, either of you, have any advice on how to get started with that?
The key thing you just said was in the general description of them, waterfowl. First thing you got to have is water. So if you've got something that you can either artificially flood or naturally floods, that's number one. And then two, if you can provide some sort of a food source to it, maybe it's a pond up in the woods that's surrounded by willow. So you know, kind of try to enhance willow acorn production, or maybe it's something you can put a food plot in, biologic or something to that effect, where you can provide some groceries and some water. And if you don't disturb them a whole lot and get ducks to use it, you could definitely have a little bit of duck shooting. Talking about wood ducks, man, that's probably one of the best opportunities. If you're somewhere in some sort of duck country and you got old creek that runs through your farm or something, maybe you can dam that up or use some sort of a water control structure, back out some water, create some habitat, and you'll have a few ducks on it. You know, that's something that'd be a lot of fun to partake in. The whole family can be a part of, and you get to enjoy it for a variety of reasons.
Jim, would you, if you're doing that kind of fresh, would you try to not shoot them for a few years? So more and more kind of mark that on their GPS.
Yeah.
To stop
I mean, the phylopatry that is such that you would probably get birds coming back and using it year after year. It would probably be better, but I wouldn't be afraid to limitedly hunt it, you know, and enjoy it. I wouldn't burn it down either way, you know, just hunt it every now and again. When you see it's loaded up pretty good, go have a good hunt, then leave them alone. Let them have at it, and try not to disturb them. You know, pressure management on all waterfowl is key. And pressure is not just somebody hunting them, you know, driving through them or getting on your four-wheeler. Hey, man, let's go see what we got. Or running a boat through them, you know, watch them from a distance until you decide to go hunt them.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a great comment, Dudley.
Yeah, I think there's more people out there that have that opportunity. They may have a little drainage on their property. One of my biggest regrets is I used to have a place I hunted, some family land, and there was a little drainage, and the beavers got in there. And it was a stream side zone, and there was some big hardwoods around there. And my brain told me I needed to get rid of them, just like if they were in the pond, you know, messing up the pond dam. And so I went and trapped the beavers. But while I was in there busting that dam and trapping it, when I was walking up, I heard mallards in there and they got up and flew off. And I was like, oh, that's neat.
Maybe I shouldn't tear it.
And then I drained.
Destroy their habitat here.
I drained it, ran all the beavers out, and they never came back. And then I was like, what did I just do?
Well, you got to balance there too. You got to protect your timber and everything else.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a stream side zone that I never would have cut anyway. Yeah. So it's,
You know, guys, Jim, when you were talking about that, I've got a little spot that just for fun, I put up a Spartan camera on it, and I put it about 18 inches off the water, higher than the water. And I every year I'll get a bunch of wood duck photos, and it's like it's amazing how many of them are like in a wad together. They're like a gang. But Jim, I wanted to ask you: are guys using trail cameras to scout for ducks much?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. That more and more times people are putting trail cameras on duck holes, both private and public, to see what time ducks are using it, where they're using it at. Had a buddy I used to work with. Deer hunting in White River Bottoms. He had his game camera out and water started coming up. And it was interesting as the water came up, the amount of duck use it got to the water went over the top of the camera. And he went and got it back, saved the card, and you could go watch all the pictures. But it's getting to be a bigger and bigger thing to check on fields, duck holes, woods holes to see when ducks are using and when they ain't, or what kind of numbers are in an area. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
And I get
a lot about. Go ahead.
I guess that, you know, arguably could be maybe an ethical concern, and I'm trying to think of where I would stand on that. But the beauty of that is you're able to go in and scout an area without disturbing any ducks. So when you normally go in and check them,
you jump them out of there.
You may end up getting them up, and so that's kind of a nice tool to have to see if they're in there or not without freaking them out.
Yeah, disturbance is pressure, like I said, you know.
100%.
Interesting, you brought up the ethics question. You know, look at all the people who use trail cameras for deer, turkeys. I've been with guys, hey, man, he's in the green field strutting right now, you know. I'm with you. I don't know where I stand on all that either. But it's modern technology, and it's a tool that we as hunters use to our benefit.
You could use it to your advantage, but you're also using it to lessen pressure.
Yeah, and make you a better gamekeeper. I mean, the information we get from our cameras really dictates so much about harvest, what our food plots are doing, and everything else. I mean, it was determined to carry capacity. So,
yeah.
I mean, I hear you, but
somebody said you can't use cameras anymore. I enjoyed that as much as the hunting part of it.
Well, but we always talk about MRI here, most recent information. And to Jim's point, too, the fourth component beside food, water, cover is pressure management, wildlife management. So they give you, like you're saying, the information you need without creating the disturbance.
Well, so guys, I don't know if I'm going to ask. I don't know if this is even legal, but can guys scout with drones now?
I think that's debatable.
There's a gray area there.
Yes,
you can, and I don't. I'm not going to bail off into the weeds on that too much because I'm going to probably say something I shouldn't because I don't have one. But there's a lot of folks do. I have been in public woods, way deep in public woods, in a boat, and got stopped to listen. I heard the unmistakable sound of a drone flying, and I looked and looked and looked, and that sucker was about as high as I could see it. And from where I was at to any dry ground, that fella, he had to either be flying it out of a boat or he was 2 miles away on dry ground. And it can be a very valuable tool finding ducks in the woods, especially once all the leaves drop the trees, because you can sure see them suckers in there.
Yeah, and they're using them for deer recovery. I think a couple of states have said some stuff about that. But, you know, recovery is such an important aspect of what we do. The last thing you want to do is leave something out there.
Yeah, so the thermal aspect.
Yeah, anything you can use, to my opinion.
So I hadn't heard that on ducks, but I, you know, guys figure out ways to use technology to their advantage all the time. Somebody's doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I sure have enjoyed seeing it, you know, used for videography purposes where folks are flying it over a duck hole and you see the little specks everywhere and moving around.
Some of the stuff Rob bought back was incredible.
It gives you a perspective from the duck's point of view.
Yeah. You bet. Have you seen some of the stuff? I seen one yesterday or today or this morning or something. A guy's flying in with a bunch of speckle bellies. And you see the one speck, you can almost see him raise his head up, turn around and look like, what is that?
That ain't Lloyd.
Yeah, exactly. But it's cool perspective. And it's funny how the birds get used to them things. You know, sometimes they'll get nervous. You know, y'all have played with them or been around folks that has. You can only get so close to them before they flush. But heck, I've seen them where the snow geese and ducks have flown right past one, or they've flown a drone in through the flock.
Hmm.
Pretty cool.
It is cool.
Wow. Addison, I wanted to ask you, what's going on with Gunner right now? Y'all have got some new stuff, don't you?
Yeah, we're working pretty hard. We just got through Black Friday, Cyber Monday. So our team's really proud about being able to ship out, you know, same day or the next day. And Black Friday will back us out a couple of days. But half the team's focused on fulfillment and customer service, and other half the team's kind of planning for next year. We launched the training bumpers and the food and water bowls this year. And then next year we got some more exciting stuff. Really, next 2-3 years, we've got some exciting stuff that we're working on. That's more of my lane is the product side. And that's what I enjoy. And then go out and use some prototypes this year on some hunts. And it's just kind of all hands on deck.
Nosler is known for their bullets, and now they're making suppressors. Nosler suppressors are made for hunting. Adding a Nosler suppressor to your rifle will make you a quieter, more accurate, and more effective hunter. Protect your hearing and disturb less game with a Nosler suppressor. The time to hunt quiet is now. Learn more at Nosler.com.
The Furminator is the industry's most versatile piece of food plot equipment, allowing plotters to do every step of the process, working the soil, adding seed and soil supplements, and compacting. From start to finish, with a single implement, it's hassle-free by design. Set it for the seed size and simply drive the tractor, and the Furminator does the rest. Check it out at theferminator.com.
You know, the interesting thing about his company, and I see it from time to time, is they'll post a picture of a pickup truck that's rolled over 2 or 3 times, and there that kennel is intact.
Yeah. Gunner saves.
And then maybe the state trooper lets the dog out, and the guy is, you know, might be hurt or something, but the dog is
dog's
okay.
Good to go.
There's a bunch of those stories. Addison, that's got to make you proud.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I still get chills when I see a kennel on the road, but when I hear about those stories, it's just crazy. I think that we post about a third or a fourth of the stories that we have come in. And it's crazy too. Usually right around September till about February, they'll start coming in every week. It just picks up, you know, sometimes we'll get 2 or 3 in a week. And we had some last year where there's 2 different house fires and the dog was in a gunner kennel and they had other dogs. One of them was at a duck camp. Other dogs were in other kennels. And the dog and the gunner survived, which I never would have dreamed that it would have any kind of help with a house fire. And that's something we're not going to advertise, like right. Your house burns down, you know, but it's just crazy to find out about some of these wrecks and how the kennels have held up and saved the dog's life. And we got wrecked. I was in Kansas last year on New Year's Day driving out to a hunt and somebody T-boned me right where my dog Chevy was in his kennel and he went and picked up a 8-man limit a couple hours later. Everybody's okay. That's something you just don't plan on. And I always kind of wonder myself, am I, with Gunner specifically, like I worked so hard to get this kennel made for him. Are we ever going to get in a wreck? And, thankfully we never did, but then with my new dog Chevy, we did.
Yeah.
Taking Chevy to the levee.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what,
but that's cool.
Y'all know how important dogs are to us as outdoorsmen. I mean,
yeah,
you can't put a price on that.
No, you can't. Really can't. Jim, I know you feel the same exact way. I mean, you've been around dogs all your life.
Oh, absolutely. You know, dogs have been my best friend forever. I got two master hunters laying in there on the couch right now, you know. Very, very important to me. You know, my dad was a big quail hunter, bird hunter, duck hunted some, but always trained dogs all his life. And he was always of the opinion that he'd always say, son, your hunting is only as good as your dog. And that kind of makes a lot of sense. Yeah. You know, the better your dog is, the better you and your dog get along, the better the hunt is. I can't imagine hunting without one. I mean, there's places it's not practical, but for the most part, a good fetch dog makes life a whole lot easier and a whole lot funner to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, way more interesting.
And a good dog will make you hunt harder. I mean, it just will. You get up just because he wants to go.
Yeah.
Or she.
Yeah, it's like the dog wants to please you, but you want to please the dog. You feel the urge to take your dog.
They look at you like, all right,
We're going.
I've got one in there that she don't go hunting for you. All you do for her is give her a ride to the hole. That's all she cares about. Yeah. As long as you get her there, she's on her own.
Oh, we got a couple of those.
Yeah, we do. Wow. The whole dog thing, though, just fascinates me, and how they are just such a big part of our lives. And I think the waterfowl guy, the dogs are just – They're laying on the couch in the house, just like Jim's saying. And the guy that's bird hunting, it just doesn't seem like that dog is quite as in the house as much in my mind.
Well, I think everybody will agree the build of a Labrador versus the build of a bird dog is a little bit different. A pointer,
English
like
pointers.
That.
They really don't want affection.
No, they don't want affection. But you know, once that lab's done doing his deed, he's looking.
They can flip their switch pretty easily. He's
looking to hang out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can go from business to whatever
to pleasure.
And not many coon hounds hanging out in the house either.
Yeah, well, it's one of
my. I've got a couple buddies. Their coon hounds like to hang out in the house and the porch pretty well. But you're right. Some like it more than others. And that's the thing about a Labrador is they for sure want to be rubbed on if you give them the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, Addison, I've been rabbit hunting with a bunch of folks, and they'll have like one kennel in the back, and they'll squeeze 16 beagles in that one kennel.
We need a jumbo gunner kennel.
You'll see noses and tails sticking out everywhere.
And one of them... Nerd. Every time.
Oh, me.
Oh, that's fun stuff. It is. You know, dogs and hunting are synonymous with each other, whether you're rabbit hunting, hog hunting, duck hunting, bird hunting, whatever you happen to be. And even deer recovery dogs. You know, we've had a lot of content about that lately, but every aspect of the hunting community. And,
you know, talking about deer recovery dogs, just think back years ago, deer drives with dogs.
And, you know,
driving deer with dogs used to be a huge thing.
That's how I started, no doubt about it.
And it still is in some places. And I hope it doesn't die.
I don't either.
But it's
how a lot of people in the South got introduced to hunting.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. Amen. It was a community thing. Yep. It really was. Mm-hmm. Still is.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It is.
It's not for
everybody. We need to get one going on.
Well, there's a guy.
You think Toxie let us walk our hounds out of here?
I don't know. I'll let you ask him.
Yeah, I'm going to let you ask him.
I had a question I was going to ask, and you got me distracted with that, with the deer. Oh, yeah, that Zach came brought his dog. I started following him on Facebook. Yeah.
Zach Crowley.
And it's every night.
He is busy every night.
He'll post a picture or two of some big buck he's finding.
Yeah, and he just genuinely enjoys, you know, the retrieval process. You know, it really is. And I think, obviously, the work with the dog.
Yeah.
That is a fine dog.
I don't know how he sleeps because just every night.
He must not. Yeah.
Be covering a deer. Wow. Yeah. So, well, hey, Jim, circling back around, these public areas in Arkansas that everybody loves to travel to and hunt, what's the water situation like there?
Bring your own. bring a 5-gallon bucket full, and you know you might help it out, but I doubt it. No, it's dry. You know, we've had a couple good rains, but it's dry. It's going to take a major rainmaker to get things where they need to be. That said, they're calling for more south than here, but an inch and a half roughly over the next couple of days here, an inch up towards the state line. That'll help. It'll all help, but we're going to need a big rain event to fill up the rivers and everything. You know, a lot of people think of by me to WMA, they think that Arkansas Game and Fish can flood it. Well, they can put the boards in the structures, but Mother Nature has to provide the water to go in there. Mm-hmm. They can't pump it. Same thing with the White and Cache River bottoms. That's all natural flood. So it's got to rain first. And, you know, when you think about this goes into Dudley's side a little bit, managing hardwoods and whatnot for duck hunting. Even like on a Green Tree Reservoir, it's part of why you try to emulate that natural cycle of wet, dry. Right. Some years are wetter than others and whatnot. So here it is, a dry year. And to be perfectly honest with you, a lot of our state WMAs and U.S. Fish and Wildlife areas, while the trees are getting dormant now, I'd love to see a dry spring keep the water off of them before you go riding around. And you see a lot of tree damage in White, Cache River bottoms, Biomeda, and some of our other more popular areas where too much water too long into the summertime is taking its toll.
Dudley and I were talking about that earlier this week, trying to see the positives of, you know, the no rain. We're seeing areas that are dry now and are coming back with a lot of native plants and stuff that hadn't in years. So, you know, maybe hoping that there'll be more food sources maybe in the next years because of it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of species depend on those, 100-year droughts or 100-year right. floods or 100-year fires mm. to do their thing. Like, for example, where I grew up duck hunting, we had this big area we called the mud flats. And it was, if you looked at it from an aerial view, there was a big ring of cypress in a small area in the middle, which was the deepest part. And it kept water year round, and it was just surrounded mm-hmm. by cypress. And then when you go farther out to the edges, there's cypress there. For those cypress in the middle to establish, they had to have a historical drought mm-hmm. because even though they like to grow or you find them in the water, mm-hmm. they don't establish in the water. You know, a seedling can't survive if it's completely underwater. So it takes these historical droughts for things like cypress and tupelo gum to get established. Yeah. And I'm sure there's a lot of other species that need a cycle like that, an extreme cycle like that.
I mean, even here, mm-hmm. we're seeing more favorable native plants this year than I think because of the drought than we've seen before.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. But it's so true, even like up north in the Prairie Pothole region, you know, you need those droughts for everything to reestablish and mm-hmm. refurbish itself, you know, for the future. So drought is like fire. It definitely has its purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. So just like every year, maybe next year, boy.
I just wish it wouldn't hit in September. Yeah, you know,
that's right. Yeah.
Let's let another month have the drought. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. It's really impacted our food plot production.
Oh, no doubt about it.
But Addison, you're deer hunting a bunch now. What do you got going on there in Tennessee? Did y'all get enough rain to have food plots this fall?
Yeah, I've been taking the kids to a couple of buddy spots around here, and I've got a little lease, and there's been so many acorns in the ground up until I'm hoping that freeze helped out that we're kind of having right now, but they've been in the woods, you know, up until for the last week. I was in Alabama at my in-laws camp, and they've got everything growing. They're doing good, and I'm not seeing it besides lack of water, because there's some duck holes that we can hunt around their camp. And I think those are a little dry right now. But being focused for me, it's been all the deer been in the woods up until last week.
You got your eye on any big ones you're trying to kill?
I'm a weekend warrior. I've given up on killing a big buck myself. I'm just trying to get the kids out. And I think we've got two or three does so far, and I'm just trying to fill the freezer and help out any of my buddies that have property. I'm like, hey, I'll go kill three does one afternoon and give them some meat and help with the management of it. But speaking no, I'm,
yeah, I was about I think to I'm, say,
yeah,
one of us.
I'm more about shooting the pigs and helping with the does. And if a big one walks out, great. But I just, it's not my property. So I don't really feel like I deserve to kill, you know, somebody else's buck. And I'm not good enough to see the big ones enough.
Yeah, it sounds like you're like me. You're always dragging does out, so you don't get a chance to see the bucks.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We're not shooting enough does.
No, we're not. You know, on that topic, just a piece of property here, that, you know, DMAP's still running here. And you can, if you're working with the state in Mississippi, you can work with them, and you set your own trail cameras out. They help you get your permits, and then they'll analyze the data for you. But an 800-acre tract in Lowndes County, they advise them to kill 20 does and 3 spikes. They wanted to be sure the spikes, if the spikes had less than 3-inch spikes, which I'd never heard this before. They said that if the spike doesn't have bigger than 3-inch spikes, there's not enough carrying capacity on the land at that age. And so they're advising them to not only shoot 20 does, but also 3 spikes.
Now, say that again. Then they're measuring the spikes length.
Yeah. I'm going to get this wrong, of course, but I'm somewhere in the ballpark. Depending on, I want to say it was 3 inches. If those spikes weren't more than 3 inches, then there's not enough nutrition or carrying capacity on the land. It's overpopulated.
That sounds about right. Or they were late born.
Or they were late born.
You know, like their mom was a fawn and she went into estrus a couple months later.
So they're encouraging that. And that might be because of,
so it's not the genetic thing, which we know has been proven wrong, but it's like the mouth thing.
The mouth
thing. And if you've got a lot of deer and too many deer, it really doesn't matter. You got to take some boys and girls off.
That's right.
To set the population back.
And the young bucks like those are the ones that are traveling. And if there is a disease, they're helping spread.
And I believe statistically those spikes with the much shorter antlers, especially in the South, are typically, you know, again, either malnourished or their mom was young. And so the fawn was born late.
Interesting. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, that we heard that this year.
It will take that deer probably a year or two longer to reach its maximum potential. So that's why they're saying, you know, why not just take a few of them out as well?
So obviously here in Mississippi, you know, they're wanting us to knock deer density down.
Yeah. And now obviously that's not a blanket statement across the whitetails range, but in most places we have more deer than we need.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like it, when you talk to the experts, that people are shooting enough does in these places.
That's right.
So
we're trying to change that around here.
Well, we need to, because goodness gracious, we don't need something. We got enough challenges right now with managing whitetail deer. We don't need more.
That's right.
So, wow. So Addison, I think you got the right attitude there.
Yeah, Fraser likes it too.
Yeah, and you know that whole the fatherly thing that you're doing, you know, we admire that. That's good.
Yeah, you get invited to a lot more places
if
you take out some does or pigs.
Yeah, Speaking of, we forgot about Jessie on Butt of the Biologic. Yeah, she has outdone you again.
I don't know that.
She's quite the hunter.
She might be a better hunter than you.
I believe she is.
She is lucky. She is lucky.
She must do a lot of scouting.
A lot of scouting. She takes advantage of a lot of scouting.
She has a personal scouter.
She does.
She's evidently doing something right, it looks like.
Oh, my goodness. So, well, Jim, what's going on in the waterfowl world we need to know about? Any latest and greatest developments or challenges or any issues?
You know, there's a lot of issues. Like I mentioned earlier, here Arkansas and Mississippi, duck energy days are a big thing we need to be concerned of and try to help people get more groceries on the ground. One of the things I would say that for everybody, you know, bee pots were down a little bit. Production may have been up in some areas, but, you know, that's cyclic. But go by, even if you don't duck hunt, if you enjoy the outdoors and conservation, go buy a federal duck stamp and your own state's duck stamp.
There you go.
That'll help out a lot right there. There's really no hot topics right now going on as far as I haven't seen any avian influenza much yet. Looking at these big these snow goose feeds we're starting to get. So that hadn't really cropped up yet like it had last year. But, you know, just keep paying attention, keep hoping for good weather and good directions.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm glad you mentioned that federal duck stamp deal. You know, you don't have to be a waterfowler, and you don't even have to be a hunter to purchase one.
Yeah,
no.
You know, if you're a birder, or you just like being outside and you're interested in conservation, buy a federal duck stamp. It's the best thing you can do.
Absolutely. And those dollars they mainly go to waterfowl habitat improvement or waterfowl something, but that helps everything.
Wetlands
wetlands, birds,
so
mammals,
important.
You know, everything. It helps everything out. Beautiful art, that's kind of my big thing.
Beautiful art, highly collected.
Yeah, it really is.
And if you don't hunt, you don't have to sign them, right?
No, exactly. I tell a lot of people, if you don't want to sign it, go buy two.
There you go. That's right.
Everybody goes, well, they're $25. And if you buy one with a credit card, it's $28. Well, now look, I realize that can be tight, but if you can afford to go buy a tank of gas to go duck hunting or fishing or whatever else,
$25
is nothing.
Yeah, $25 duck stamp, right? So it's not that big a deal.
No.
Yeah. Duck meat's one of the most expensive meats when you look at all the money you got into it.
I was figuring up a bunch of lease dollars that we got into things for this year and whatnot. And I quit. I'm not real good at math, but I quit trying.
Yeah, it doesn't work out.
This doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, look, I got something. And Addison, I'm kind of thinking about you. You got all these kids, ages 4 to 8. I'm trying to give you something you can talk to them tonight at the supper table.
Uh-oh.
Do you guys, and I'm looking at all y'all, do y'all know how to tell the difference between a boy ant and a girl ant? Do you know how to sex ants is what I'm asking?
Huh. You know?
I'm out on that one, bub.
Yeah, I've never thought about this.
So if you'll get a bucket and then grab you a handful of ants.
What is he doing, Rob?
And then drop them in that water. The ones that sink are the girl ants. The ones that float are boy ants.
Boy,
where are we at?
There you go, Addison. You'll be a hero tonight.
Now you know what we have to put up with every day.
Dad joke of the day, yeah. Right there.
So
he's consistent.
We always have a trivia question, and I think Jim has a trivia question for all of us, including you, Addison. You'll be in on this too.
Here we go.
Yeah. So. I've really got two. I've got one kind of tough and one somewhat of a layup. Let's go to the layup first.
So let's set it up first. So we're playing for one of our listeners that left a review.
Okay.
And then this, Richie, why don't you tee us up?
All right. So we're playing here today for Ryan. All the names are taken.
Yeah, all the names are taken.
That's what his name was.
That was his name.
But this segment is brought to you by who, Richie?
Today's trivia is brought to us by Sheffield Financial, because your finances are not trivial.
No, it is not anything trivial about it.
They are an impressive company, guys.
Yeah. LS Trackers,
if you need to buy an ATV or something,
whatever you need, they'll finance it for you.
That's right. Sheffield Financial. All right, Jim, we're ready for you.
Okay. So this ought to be a layup for this crew right here. We was talking about federal duck stamps and whatnot. What was the name of the only Labrador Retriever featured on a federal duck stamp?
I think I know this.
I think I do too.
I'm gonna write it. I'm gonna text Bobby, see if it's the same one.
Well, hang on now.
I'm pretty sure I'm clueless.
So wasn't it King Buck?
No.
Winner, winner, chicken.
Yeah, I was wrong.
Addison, I'm sorry. I didn't even let you respond on that one. You probably knew that.
I knew it. Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah,
King Buck.
You look like
I was about to start giving clues, but you got it.
I was wrong. Okay.
Where did that come from? How did I miss out on that?
I don't know. But
King Buck.
Seems like one of the adult beverage companies used him for ads or something.
Oh, that would make sense.
I'm not positive about that, but
I don't remember that. Maybe so. May had, because so that he was owned by
there's a big family John out of Olin. St. Louis.
John Olin. Who was on Winchester Western Ammunition is who owned King Buck.
Yeah.
That's where he come from. He's trained by a guy by the name of Cotton Pershaw from Cotton Plant, Arkansas, originally. So
that was the layup.
I think he's from Cotton Plant.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the layup. This one's going to be tough. This next one's going to be rough.
All right. So as we talk about this next one, y'all got this. So another duck stamp question. The name of the Federal Duck Stamp Act is the Migratory Bird Hunting and Conservation Stamp Act. In what year was it enacted?
Let's look at Addison. You can tell he's thinking. Look at that.
I'm
trying to think when they started making more rules.
I
keep thinking 1928.
I was saying 27.
It's 23.
No, y'all got the Migratory Bird Treaty Act mixed up with this one.
Ah,
back in 27. But yeah, I'm proud of y'all. You're in the right part of the world here. I give you just a little bit more to think about it. And here's a hint: the birds featured on the first federal duck stamp were a pair of mallards painted by Ding Darling. So you understand the importance of who Ding Darling was, and you know about Pittman Robertson and the Ding Darling Act. So,
I do know about Ding Darling. What an interesting name to be called Ding.
Yeah. Now he's got some killer
Addison questions. We're just going to defer to you.
Yeah, we figure Addison knows this one.
37.
Ooh.
Well, you're in the right decade, so I will give you a win on that. 1934.
Boom. There it is. Go, Addison.
Well, you stumped
us. Yeah, you stumped
us. Stumped the chumps.
He stumped me on the first one, too. I was way off.
You acted like man, you knew it, though.
I thought I knew it. I'm afraid y'all would have. I'm afraid, man, that y'all was going to slam that one.
Yeah.
But no. You did good. Bobby pulled through for y'all.
He sure did.
I don't know how I knew Bobby. That, but I did. So, wow. Okay. So, all the names are taken. You win. Look, we've got some Gunner bumpers.
Oh, nice.
That Addison nice. Sent down oh, here. Sweet. We'll send one of those to him.
There so. You go.
Yeah. Hopefully he's got a dog.
Yeah.
But who doesn't have a dog these days?
That's right. Everybody's got a dog, man. Yeah.
Addison, you got anything else you need to add? Anybody you need to say hello to?
No, I'm good. I appreciate y'all having me on. This has been fun.
Yeah, man. Stoked to hear you out there with your kids mowing stuff down. That's always fun.
Drop by and see us sometime. Yeah. You know, yeah. When you're in Alabama, yeah. You're not far from
us. We might as well be here.
I know we'll probably see him at NWTF.
Yeah.
That may be when we next see him. I do have some questions.
Yeah.
Is it rapid fire time?
For Addison.
Yeah. Okay. And, let's do this.
It's rapid fire time? Springfield yeah. Rapid
and
time.
And I'll just say, you know, my point about us deer and turkey hunters making a little duck hole.
Good point.
I just want to encourage folks to do that. I think you'll get a lot of pleasure out of it, you know, whether you hunt it or not, just getting to see cranes and
yeah, and if you can scratch out one good hunt, you know, that's pretty awesome, you know, in your own place. It really is.
Yeah, and talk about adding some value to your property.
Yeah, it would.
You've got a little waterfowl impoundment or something.
And now is the time to start thinking about putting up a wood duck box in late January.
Right. Yeah. So we can help. You can probably call your local
NRCS, FSA.
NRCS, USA.
Yeah, they'll help you out too. Yeah, they'll always help you.
DNR. And see if somebody can meet you at your place and help you get started, help you with some ideas and maybe even some grant money or something.
And you're all it takes is a beaver pond and a little work. I mean, it really does just scratch out a little spot.
Mm-hmm.
And no trespassing cows. I'll add that.
Yeah, you got can eat it up. Cows messed up your spot. Yeah,
I had a heck of a stand till the cows got in.
They like it. Yeah, they like that guy's choice.
Especially when it's dry.
So Rapid Fire is brought to you by Springfield Armory.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are probably familiar with Springfield Armory.
Have we heard from our ultimate squirrel hunting giveaway winner?
No. So Marty Flaggerty, if I'm pronouncing it, has not gotten in touch with us. So I think he's only got a day or two, and we're going to have to draw again.
Oh, my goodness.
We've never been in this situation before.
We haven't.
I don't know what to do. We're going to.
So does it not default to me if he doesn't claim it?
I don't think it does. No, we're going to follow whatever the rules are. And the rules said something about 10 days. So,
well, I hope he reaches out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're going to. Thank you for reminding me about that. Go ahead, Dudley.
Okay. So, Addison, I think we've done Jim before, but I figured I'd come up with a few questions so our listeners can get to know you better. Just try to answer them as quick as you can. And you can say yes, no, maybe,
both
whatever. But okay. So are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Classic country or southern rock?
Classic country.
Bluegrass or jam grass?
I don't even know what jam grass is.
Maybe. Okay. Bluegrass. So Ricky Skaggs or Billy Strings?
Billy String.
All right. Well, that's some jam grass.
Jam grass.
All right.
Okay.
Fried deer meat or grilled deer meat?
Oof.
Ooh. Oh. Fried is special. I have fried less, but I enjoy it. I don't know. Overall, grilled.
All right. Mm. Quicker on the next one. Collard greens with pepper sauce or purple hull peas with some good old chow chow on it?
God.
Collard greens with pepper sauce.
All right. Mm. Sausage biscuit, with or without jelly?
Without.
Would you rather go on an out-of-state turkey hunt or an offshore fishing trip?
Offshore fishing. Mm.
Little spot in the timber or open cove in the Cypress Break? What's your favorite?
Little spot in the timber.
Wood duck hunt or diver hunt?
Wood duck.
Soybeans, rice, corn, or Milo? Pick one.
Ooh.
Corn.
Moist soil or millet?
Millet.
Pump, semi, or double?
Mm.
Semi.
And last but not least, would you rather kill a Jack Miner band or a hybrid duck?
Ooh.
Jack Miner.
Good answer.
Yeah. Well, those are good, Dudley.
That's good. Yeah.
Would you rather?
Great question.
All right. I know, Bobby, you've killed a Jack Miner, but would you rather kill a Jack Miner or a hybrid?
A Jack Miner, sure.
Lanny?
I've killed a hybrid, so I'd rather have a Jack Miner.
And Rob's not on the mic, but what about you, Rob?
Jack Miner. Jack
Miner. Jack
Miner.
Nodding his head.
Yeah,
so. Jack Miner.
Okay. Richie probably doesn't care.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Richie.
Jim's
what you
probably
got?
Done both.
Jack Miner or hybrid?
I mean, I do Jack Miner, yeah.
There you okay. go.
I think I'm the only hybrid guy.
Okay. I would be with you, but I think I'm
got all right. Yeah. Well, good.
Ron Quest has
Ron Quest, what do you think?
Wrap around
done him. Both.
Jack Miner for sure. I see more hybrids than I see Jack Miner bands.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Good intel.
Well, guys, this has been fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Hey, they always are, man. I'm always honored to get the opportunity to sit in with the Gamekeeper crew. Thank y'all.
Well, y'all are both great partners of ours. We appreciate y'all.
Y'all
being
are
here.
Great
no
people,
doubt
and yeah. you come from two iconic brands.
No doubt
yeah.
about it.
Yeah. We encourage people listening to go to, they can Google Drake and go to their website. I think it's just drake.com.
Or might be Drake Waterfowl.
Drake Waterfowl.
DrakeWaterfowl.com. And then it's gunner.com, right, Addison?
Yep. Just got gunner.com.
Gunner.com. Yep. Check it out.
Christmas is
coming. Here. Yeah. And go get you some
it
stuff.
Is that.
Yeah. yeah. And boy, I mean, they got some stuff that
you got me on your list.
I do have you on my list, but it's not my Christmas list.
Oh, so. Here we go.
You're on my watch list is what you're on this time of year. So. Well, guys, we enjoyed having y'all. Thank you so much for being with us and
yeah.
all that you do.
Appreciate what y'all do.
Yeah. Thank yeah. y'all.
And
appreciate.
Yes, sir. Everybody listening, we appreciate y'all as well. We appreciate you watching the television show on Tuesday nights.
Yep.
Richie, it looks good.
Leave us a review.
Yeah,
we like reviews.
Yeah.
Tell your friends about us.
Yeah, and subscribe so
yeah,
you don't
subscribe.
Miss one.
That's right.
We dropped a bonus one, and if you don't subscribe, you may not have known about it last week. The little girl killing that great big deer. And
that was a monster
Eric
deer.
Eric Larson with the 200-inch yeah. Kansas
yeah,
deer.
Yeah, that was a monster deer, too.
Oh, man.
And there's supposedly a 200-inch whitetail that got killed in Mississippi. We're trying to track down, aren't we?
Yep, I'm on it. I'm not having a whole lot of luck
so
tracking
So anybody
it down.
Knows this guy, Bobby wants to talk to him.
That's right.
Have you heard from Hank yet?
No. Hank Williams Jr., my dream guest.
He still won't call you back.
He's ghosting
you.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Addison, can you help? You live up there in that part of the world.
When you see Hank at the store, tell him Bobby is looking for him.
I can honestly say when I was a kid, my dream in life was for Hank Jr. to come hang out, consume beverages with my dad and his buddies and fry deer meat and eat rice and gravy.
That sounds like a good time.
I just always thought
sound
that would
bad,
be, I just thought that would be so cool, you know.
My grandfather was one of Hank Sr.'s doctors, and my mother, who's the youngest of 12, remembers growing up Hank Sr. would go hang out with my grandfather and Hank Jr. would be with him and hanging out with my mom and her siblings. But
what? I don't have a story that cool.
That might be your connection.
Well, so look, I grew up in Montgomery, and my formative years, like when I started driving around.
Formative years.
You know, 1978.
Playboy Bobby.
So the country, a country boy can survive, I think came out in 1980. I was like 10th grade.
You identify with that.
Oh my. I bought so many 8-track tapes, it's not even funny. And that's all I would listen to.
Yeah.
But Hank Williams' grave is in Montgomery. We would go to that grave. We would take our dates and go to the grave. And look, you know, it was just a part of growing up there. And he's got a farm somewhere south of Montgomery. And I would hear all these stories about what he was doing on that place.
Yep.
This was 35 or 40 years ago.
Yeah, he's a gamekeeper.
So I want to know what he's doing with it now and what's it like. So I don't want to talk about music. Just
maybe he'll call you.
Maybe you will. Addison, help me out.
Come on, Addison.
All right, guys. We appreciate everybody, and we've been going on and on, but this has been a lot of fun. So
glad you're back, Richie. Glad you're back, Rob. Back in the house.
Yep. Why don't you say goodbye, Dudley?
Goodbye, Dudley.
Get us out of here, Richie.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Gamekeeper Podcast, and be sure to tune in again. Subscribe to Gamekeeper Farming for Wildlife magazine and don't miss the Mossy Oak Properties Fistful of Dirt podcast with my good buddy, Ronnie Cuz Strickland.